It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is Miss Regina Oliver of the Oliver Family Charities. She is the mother of Andre Emmett, the basketball star who lost his life during an East Dallas drive-by shooting. Their organization is changing the lives of kids through education and sports, and you have a very big summer basketball camp coming up. I can't wait to hear all about it because I also understand that you've got the former Texas Tech coach Chris Beard's going to be helping with the kids, and so is former NBA star Steven Jackson. How you doing, Regina?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Doing just fine. Again, I'm so glad you could join us, and I'm glad to have you on to talk about, first of all, we're going to get into the camp. Let's just say that right off the bat. It's like August the 24th, right?
Exactly.
Tell us about the camp itself, then we'll talk about a few other things, because, again, you and I go back, and I think there's so many fascinating aspects of what you do, and also being the mom of a slain professional athlete, but he was a professional athlete, and a lot of people are actually going through those things, or they have family members or friends who have professional athletes in their lives. So let's talk about the camp first.
Okay. So like you said, the camp is August 24th, and it is at the Oak Cliff YMCA on Hampton Road. And we are very excited to have as many kids as possible registering. As a matter of fact, I'm getting registrations now and just before I logged in here. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be indoor and outdoor this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have access to both because we know it's going to be hot. We know August is a hot month.
Oh, yes.
I had both of my children in August. I know about August. definitely know about August. And
this is going to be the third one, right? The third annual?
This is the third annual for Lubbock and Dallas.
Okay.
So I'm truly, yeah. So, as a matter of fact, I leave tomorrow for Lubbock's camp that's going to be this weekend. So I'm excited about that as well. And again, thank you to the YMCA there in Lubbock. But Dallas is going to be fun because I'm so excited about Chris Beard. I'm excited about Steven Jackson. Steven was a big help with Andre getting into the Big Three. So basically, mm-hmm. when I say that, I say Steven Jackson, Kenyon Martin coached Andre via Korea because he was still in Korea.
Oh, is that right?
Right before he got to the combine,
yeah,
and coached him on what to do and what he needed to practice on, and filling out his paperwork and this, that, and the other. He came from Korea, got back to the U.S. from Korea, went straight into the combine, did a bang-up job. And a funny story about that is Ice Cube did not even know who Andre was. He did not know who this guy was.
Well, you know, Andre knows, I feel like this, Ice Cube know all about some basketball, but he really know about rap. Since, you know, since he's a mm-hmm. superstar in the world of rap, but he's also a movie star. So it's like, I don't know if he could keep up with everything. I think he keeps up with anybody that was a Laker. I'm cracking on Ice Cube because he's West Coast, but he loves the Lakers. And I'm like, if you didn't play for the Lakers, he probably know every little person that was on the end of the bench with the Lakers. But all the NBA players, again, he did not know who Andre was. But then you say Steven probably had something to do with that to introduce him?
Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson and Kenyon Martin. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Hey, Mark.
I give props to the Texas, like they call themselves, the Texas boys.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, very good.
The Texas boys. So. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. And I also remember, because I think I was the MC for it, the court
dedication. And you will be too. Yeah.
The basketball court dedication. Because right out there at the YMCA in Oak Cliff, you got that the Andre Emmett basketball court, Nancy Lieberman's Foundation. Y'all were able to partner with that, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
One of those dream courts.
Nancy Lieberman and Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that is fantastic.
That was huge.
And again, this camp is going to be August the 24th. So we want you to, where can you sign up for? Where can you, if you want to be a volunteer and tell where people can find out more information?
Okay. You can find out more information. All the information is on our social media sites, and that's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, OliverFamilyCharities.com.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is there. For the Dallas camp, we even had a nice sponsorship. So we were able to lower the kids' registration fee for only $20.
Oh, that's awesome. You can't get two cheeseburgers. You can't even get a Happy Meal nowadays for $20.
Exactly.
That's great.
We're doing it for the kids, for the love of the kids. And because it's going to be hot, but we're still going to have fun.
Exactly.
You know, it's going to always be hot.
Like you said, indoor, outdoor, it's going to be it's going to be from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Boys and girls ages 8 through 17. And again,
it's
former tech coach Chris Beard's going to be there. Steven Jackson's going to be there. Some of the former players who play with Andre, and not only at high school and in college at Texas Tech, in the NBA, and also with the Big Three. You just never know who's going to swing through because everybody loved Andre.
Yeah, and I shout out to the local members that are participating in this as well, that were Andre's friends. And, you know, of course, everybody knows Jabari Johnson, Brian Evans. Greg was going to be the first time with us. He was the one that got Andre's first home. So I'm excited to have him there. So, yeah, I got a heap of help this year for Dallas. So,
and part of what you're doing, like you said, you're honoring Andre because how do we phrase this? You're continuing his legacy as planned. When Andre got fatally shot, like I said, he was just sitting in his car, and you know, the person that shot him was just out of the blue. Andre wasn't doing anything, and that's what kind of shocked a lot of people, especially people who absolutely loved Andre. And Andre was always giving back. Can you talk about how he was always giving back? And how, you know, his senseless murder, because that's what it was, a murder, senseless murder brought a lot of people together.
Andre did not like to see kids do without if he could help it. If he saw a kid that needed tennis shoes and he was familiar with their family or that kid in particular, you know, he would reach out and say, you know what, this kid needs, you know, a pair of shoes, you know. It doesn't make sense for him to walk around and do this. He normally, basically, Andre helped a lot of children who were in the custody of their grandparents. A lot of people don't know that, who were being taken care of by their grandparents.
Right.
Because their mom or their father was either deceased or incarcerated. And that's why we continue what we do. And it's just helping the kids because, you know, I'm fortunate enough to help. I'm not too good not to help because my mom raised me the way she raised me is to help and to reach out if at all possible. So I was very proud of him in maintaining that sense of knowledge and doing well despite without even being asked or just, you know, whatever he's like he always said, whatever was on his heart, that's what he did. So he loved the kids to have tennis shoes, bicycles, and haircuts, and, you know, some type of fly t-shirt or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he liked that. He did. He loved that. So I get touched by when I see some of the kids now, when I pass by the YMCA and I see some of the kids out there with their t-shirts on the ground, you know, they're out there hooping and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And it just touches me because he used to be that kid.
Right.
He used to be that kid. So that's why I'm grateful that it is at the YMCA, you know, in that particular area, which is where we all graduated high school from. And He went to elementary school in that area. He went to middle school in that area and high school. So I'm grateful that it is there at that particular place. I really am.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it's always about giving back to the kids. Just, you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know who you're going to run across and how you can touch them with a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, a pair of shoes. I remember, let me tell you this one little story. When Andre moved into his condo, he went to, he was in a local store. And there was some kids in the store trying to buy ices and candy bars. And they didn't have enough money. And when he told me about it, I was like, what? And, you know, he said, just touched his heart. It was, of course, in the summer. It was about 10, 15 kids in there. And some kids had enough money and some kids don't. Mm-hmm. And he said, he just touched his heart. He said, okay, who all in here buying stuff? And all the kids raised their hand, you know, and they kind of looked up to him because, of course, he's real, you know, tall, 6'5".
Yeah.
He said, y'all put everything up there on the counter. Whatever you want to get, go and put it up there on the counter. And he said, and the guy behind Richardson was looking at him like, you don't even know these kids. And he said, well, sir, these kids? He said, don't worry about it, I got it. And he had the keys to go get whatever they wanted out the store. And he paid for every little kid's items that they had.
Wow.
And they were, he said, Mama, it just touched my heart because they were so happy with their little plastic bags. And they said, thank you, Mr. Sir. Thank you, Mr. Sir. And he said it was kids of all races.
Right.
And I said, well, Andre, well, how much money did you spend? He said, well, Mama, it doesn't matter. I took care of the kids and because it touched my heart and it made me feel good the whole entire day. So,
He was touching lives from the beginning. And that's why, you know, that's why people remember him so fondly. Again, we're talking with Regina Oliver. She is the mom of former professional basketball player Andre Emmett, who grew up here in Dallas, went to Carter High School. For those who don't know, went to Carter High School, then went to Texas Tech, got a scholarship at Texas Tech, the Red Raiders, one of their all-time leading scorers, got drafted into the NBA by the Memphis Grizzlies, also played for the New Jersey Nets, but he also played around the world because, you know, if you got a skill set and you can play ball and you're not necessarily in the league every single year, you go where you can play. And he got a chance to see the entire world and then to come back to play some more ball with the Big Three, which is going on in the summertime. Everybody knows about the Big Three, Ice Cube's league. And you mentioned Steven Jackson and Kenyon Martin helping him out with the Big Three and Nancy Lieberman, of course. But I think a lot of people always admired him because he grew up here. He stayed here. He was accessible. He was always working with the kids. And he was just one of us. It's like, you know, he was just Dallas. And that's why it's shocking that in 2019, you know, it was a senseless murder. He had nothing to do with anything. He was just sitting in his car. And this was in East Dallas. It wasn't even, quote unquote, South Dallas or Oak Cliff. It was in East Dallas. It could have happened anywhere. And I know it was a shock to his family and friends, and you especially. How are you handling it now? Is putting your time into the foundation helping you reconcile his loss?
Absolutely. Of course, after counseling, it is helping me with my mental.
Mm-hmm.
It's still tough. It's still hard. We're coming up on 5 years, September 23rd, and it's still unbelievable.
Yeah.
We sit around and talk about it, my family and I, and we still cannot believe Andre's gone. It's so hard to believe. So I keep myself buried into the foundation, doing what he would love to do because he wouldn't give up. He would not give up. And that's why I started it and stayed with it. And it helps because all the memories that I have, you know, all the memorabilia, the oh, my God, my trophy case overflows. Mm-hmm. It overflows. So I had to buy a second trophy case, believe it or not, Chris.
I believe
it. He has so many items, you know, because Andre played in 9 foreign countries.
Woo.
9. He played in every league that had to do with basketball.
Mm-hmm.
G League, well, they called it D League then.
Yeah.
So that's the G League.
Yep.
So he played in every aspect of it. So, like you say, he went and saw the world. He saw the world.
He really did.
When he left career, he said, this is going to be it because I have children now, and mm-hmm. my career is wanting, I want my career to end in the big three. And that's exactly what happened. I was like, you know, this was a God thing. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it ended, in the big three. You know, he said, I always said I wanted to go tops. If I'm going to go in a draft, I want to go tops. Of mm-hmm. course, you know, the big NBA, he went where he was taken, and he was grateful for that. He really was. He kept saying, at least I didn't go last.
Oh, man.
He said, I'm not the last kind of guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, and then in the big three, you know, you end up going first round, pick mm-hmm. number two. Mm-hmm. That really set him off. And then to be, you know, and you mentioned Nancy Lieberman. Yes, definitely shout out to Nancy. Nancy and Andre got to be really good friends when he got in the big three. They started traveling together to the games. And instead of going in their separate cars, they would go together. Mm-hmm. So it was always, you know, fun to hear her stories and fun to see her shoot pool with Andre. It was funny.
Right, right.
So, yeah, she's been a, you know, she's been a big help. We're grateful for Nancy. We really are. She's like our sister now. We call each other sisters. So, yeah, we're good. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity to continue what he started. We're not letting up.
Yeah, we all are.
Oliver Family Charities is the organization with all things regarding Andre Emmett.
Yes, it is the foundation.
That's who we are.
Yeah,
right.
Oliver.
His family. He's yep. a bad family. Andre was huge on family.
Speaking of family, I met your sister. And she always takes credit for showing him how to play basketball. How do you handle that?
She does. You know what? That's a big old brag every year. You know, tell him how to do this. And she, you know, he ran track and she ran track. But mm-hmm. they both wore the same number at quarter. They both wore number 14.
Okay.
She's, where do you think you got 14? I'm like, I don't know. But yeah, she takes all the credit. Anything that has to do with sports, she takes all the credit. Andre had started to go out there and watch her. She's an official now. Mm-hmm. But when she was playing softball, mm-hmm. he would go out there with her sometimes and get out there on the field, you know, and do what he could do. He, you know, he was just an all-around kind of guy. Andre played every sport there was, pretty much. I'm just like, but it's love, Chris.
And that
it's
kept him love. Out of trouble. And that kept him out of trouble, didn't it?
Exactly. But his love, his sport of love was really football.
Is that right? Football?
A lot of people didn't know that. His first love is football and quarterback. That's it.
Is that
That's
right?
What he did.
You know what's so funny literally. You mention that? Because there's another world famous point guard named Allen Iverson mm-hmm. used to play quarterback. He sure did. Allen Iverson.
Right. That was my mom's favorite basketball player.
AI.
Yeah,
the
AI.
Answer,
but
the
he,
answer.
That was his first love, quarterback, because mm-hmm. that's what he played Little League football. Mm-hmm. The Oak Cliff Jets. Andre
yeah.
was the quarterback.
Oh, the legendary yeah. Oak Cliff Jets. They've been
yes.
around forever.
Forever.
Forever, ever, ever, ever. Ever. Like Andre 3000. You know, Regina, I got to ask you this because as a mother, I'm a professional athlete. There's so many mothers of professional athletes in the North Texas area. Just not just mothers, but family members, parents. And it's like every time you look up, there's another athlete from this area getting drafted mm-hmm. or playing at professional sports, whether it's football or baseball or basketball. In football, the Cowboys draft pick from last year, Tyler Smith. He grew up in Fort Worth. Tyrese Maxey. South Garland, he plays for the Philadelphia 76ers right now. I could go mm-hmm. on and on and on. Baseball, I mean, I could go on and on and on. This area produces so many kids that turn pro. And not just go off to mm-hmm. college and get scholarships. I mean, a lot of kids do that. But they turn out to be professional athletes, and they come back here in the summertime or they come back here in the off season, and they're hanging out or they're working out or they're giving back. And I want to know if you had a chance to talk to anybody else in that same lane that you're in, other parents, other moms or sisters or brothers of professional athletes, and how is everybody able to help them stay grounded or help do their part in their lives? Because so many people suddenly know that they're famous, that guy or that girl is famous. Sha'Carri Richardson from Carter High School as well. I just threw down the list because the Olympics are right around the corner.
Right, right. You know, the first person in the DFW area that went pro that I knew of, and Andre was very much affiliated with, was Chris Bosch.
Yep, Chris Bosch. That's my
friend. I never will forget that. In no shade to Mom, when I found out, Andre was like, Mom, you know, this guy played basketball and he got it. He's from South Dallas and
Yeah.
So I kind of reached out to his mom, but you know, she didn't know me. It was like, what are you calling me for?
You know why she said that? Because so many people
and I know.
And that's one of the reasons Chris said he doesn't necessarily live in Dallas. He'll come back to visit. He said it's just so many people that say, you don't remember me, do you? Or I helped you with this. And like, man, I don't remember you at all. You know, just all of a sudden try to get into your lives, you know? So and that's why Ms. Bosch is probably defensive a little bit.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it is, yeah. I'm sure. But he was the first one that I could relate to in the DFW areas going pro. And Andre thought that was just awesome. He did. You know, because they played the same sport. Played the same sport, just a different school. So that was pretty cool.
You know, go ahead.
I'm going to say this. When Andre was drafted, after Andre was drafted and he was going through these different tryouts, I want to give a shout out to LeBron James. LeBron James took Andre to his first ESPYs award.
Oh, is that right? That's great.
People didn't know. A lot of people didn't know that. LeBron James took him to his first ESPYs. Now, he used to work out with Shaq, Dwayne Wade in Miami. He said Shaq taught him a lot. He said Shaq taught him a lot. In learning the game and doing, you know, playing the game, you know, it was crazy. You know, the communication he had with the players and
oh, they all loved him. He was everybody's little brother.
Exactly. The man, they call me little dude. They call me little bro. You
know? Yeah. But let's go back to the families though, because again, when your kid turns pro, gets drafted or whatever, everybody, can you talk about what happens when everybody, people you don't even know, suddenly trying to get close to y'all?
Oh my god, it's like, I went to school with Andre, you remember me, and we went to elementary, we went to junior high school together, we went in third grade together, and we had Mr. such and such for a teacher. I'm like, okay, you know, it's a lot.
Is there any advice you would give to family members, because again, every year somebody from this area, they're turning pro? Or you know, and again, the family, especially with social media nowadays, it's like the families have to help their kid, whether it's a girl or a guy, help them deal with all these different kind of pressures. Can you talk about some of the things that people, like, everybody got a money-making idea, right? All the hanger-ons want to get a job and work and be in the posse.
Everybody got a great idea for you, okay?
Yeah.
So what you have to do is you do have to stay grounded. You have to know your place. You must know your place with your child that just went pro and have that conversation continuously. Even on draft night, we still had talks. Even on the flight the next morning to Memphis, we still were talking. You have to have an agreement with each other to do this and not do this. Oh, yes, they're definitely adults. But if they're not used to certain things, certain types of money, certain sizes of money, you have to keep the communication open. And you have to know without a shadow of a doubt that this, your child, like my, like Dre, there are things that Andre did that I know he didn't do.
Right.
Or wouldn't do.
Right.
You know, you just never know. But then again, he is an individual. He's a person and he's a black male. So you stay grounded. You stay with him. And, you know, like I said, keep the lines of communication open.
Yeah, you just said
That's why we were so close.
You just said
we were so close.
Communicate. And like you said, help them stay grounded, because they're going to be besieged by agents, by, you know, all kinds of people that want to spend their money, and you got to make sure that they keep their money. One other quick note, a lot of guys, especially girls too, WNBA or whatever it is, track or whatever it is, or even some women's football leagues. There's some women's football leagues out there. They, the first thing they say they want to do is buy their mom a house. Did Andre say something like that to you? I'm going to have to buy you a new house.
And he did. And that's exactly what he did.
That's what I'm telling you. That's one of the that's a lot of guys that turn pro. Their number one goal is I got to buy my mom a house. I want to so bad because she helped raise me.
Chris, what he did in order, this is what he did in order. He bought me my first diamond necklace. Mm-hmm. He bought him a new truck and mm-hmm. bought me a new house. All wow. within this 2 month time period. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of being drafted. Yeah. He said that because he said my mom worked hard for us. Mm-hmm. And I was the person. I was the mom and the dad. Mm-hmm. And there's no way. It was just a done deal. This is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do for you. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what I want to do. And, you know, like I said, the lines of communication, staying grounded.
Yeah.
You know, remember, my mom always told him, mm-hmm. remember where you came from and who brought you up.
I got another question to ask you as a parent of a professional athlete. You know, I mentioned agents. Did you help mm-hmm. him select agent? I'm going to bring this up because, like I said, so many professional athletes come from this area. And just, you know, in the last couple of years in baseball, Bobby Witt Jr., who grew up in Colleyville, his dad mm-hmm. is his agent. Because his dad, Bobby Witt, he was a Major League Baseball player for years, played for the Rangers. And mm-hmm. he already knew how to be an agent. So he's an agent. And Bobby Witt Jr. didn't have to try to go through all that process. But I'm sure a lot of people have to sort through the agents, sort through the marketing people and anybody that's got an idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in on him picking an agent, and I would like something about one in particular, and he wouldn't, and he would like the best of this one, and I wouldn't. And so we kind of evened it out. But the thing about Andre Emmett was if the guy didn't do what he said do, he was gone.
Yep.
He was gone.
That's right.
You know, it's like, it's my money. I'm mm-hmm. paying you. You're not paying me.
Thank you.
We're going to make a deal, or we're going to split.
That's the way it has to be. Because it can't be.
It has to be.
Yeah, it has to be that way. And again, a lot mm-hmm. of guys and girls, they just want to play the sport and let the agent take care of everything else. And that's why sometimes mm-hmm. the family has to be involved a lot, because that's who you mm-hmm. trust the most, your family, your immediate family.
Right. Because he always told him one thing about, if you can't reach me, you could definitely reach my mom. Mm-hmm. I was always the second person to be contacted if he couldn't be reached. You know, I tried to email Andre. I tried to call Andre. You know, well, I got scheduled. What do you want? You know, so, yeah.
You know what else I got to ask you about?
I was his secretary.
You were? Yeah. You like you said, the communication lines, and he had somebody he trusted that could handle his businesses as well. With that being said, let's talk about the foundation again, because I heard this very famous person say, the real entrepreneurs, the real risk takers are those who do nonprofits, because it's really a leap of faith that you come up with something that a lot of people would really want to be involved with. And once they get involved with it, it's very exciting, but you're really, really going out there. Can you talk about what it was like to start the foundation? And I know it's some trials and tribulations. I don't want you to go into all the details, but I want to give you credit and props, because not everybody can do this.
You're right. No, this is not for everybody. It's hard. It is starting off. It's hard
work.
And staying. Yeah, you got to stay focused. Like they say, a nonprofit foundation is a full-time job, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of tips from my pastor, Richie Butler. The great Richie Butler. He gave, you know, we had conference calls, and he was giving me tips and don't do this, but do this. But
and he's a former athlete too. He used to play cornerback at SMU.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. He's seen Project Unity.
Foundation.
Yes, Project Unity.
Unity, right. And, you know, he would just tell me, do this and don't do that, and da 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 da, and learn how to pay yourself and mm-hmm. do, you know. But you have to stay on top of things, and you have to have some trusted board members.
Yes.
You really do. You got to have some people who are going to go out there, not necessarily work as hard as I do, but give me half of what I do. Mm-hmm. Give me half of what I do. Mm-hmm. You know? But I am looking for
not just have your name on the board. Not just have your name on the board, right?
Right. On a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, oh, no, that's not working for me. It does not work for me, because I work a full-time job. I'm still a mom. You know, I'm a grandma. Then I just got to, you know, when you get up in age, you know, you can't do everything all day, every day.
Right. But you do. But you put out the effort. And again, I give props to anyone who either starts a foundation or a nonprofit or totally involved or the CEO or the executive director, because it's really a lot of work. And that's why it's usually from your heart, because when you put in that kind of work, it's got to be from your heart. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is not no plaything. This is not a plaything.
Exactly.
Because you got to keep track of this, that, and the other. You got to file your paperwork. You got to don't be missing paperwork. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. This is a job. But you know what? I enjoy it. It keeps me busy. It keeps me focused on I would never let up on what he started. I would never.
That's right.
As long as I'm here, I'll never stop.
In fact, the motto is continuing his legacy as planned. We're talking with Gina Oliver. She is the CEO, the executive director of Oliver Family Charities, oliverfamilycharities.com. The Summer Skills Camp is coming up August 24th. And there's a lot of Red Raider fingerprints all over this. He of course, went to school at Texas Tech. There's a lot of alum and future students that are going to be attending Texas Tech, as well as those who currently go up to Texas Tech and come home for the summer here in North Texas. Can you talk about the love that you receive from Texas Tech University?
Oh, my God. You know, we are truly alumni family, for real, for real. We are. My mom was born in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, okay.
So
small
I really,
world.
Yeah, my mom, yeah, and we didn't know that until later. But the Red Raider family, they have really been good to us. They have been really nice to us. So I'm gonna give a shout out to Coach McCaslin, and he knows what it's about. He's good. Will Culpepper, I'm still in contact.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
With Chancellor Hans, so I'm good. You know, we are good. We are good, and we're always, I'm looking forward to going. I leave and go there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I already have another tour with the Womble. I understand they did some upgrades in there that they wanted me to look at. So I'm excited about going in there and looking at that again, because I get amazed, because the Womble is state-of-the-art, seriously, state-of-the-art. So they said they did some upgrades in the room where they put some of Andre's memory stuff, memorabilia stuff up in there. So I'm going to go see that again. I know it's going to be tearful, but I'm going to enjoy it. So, but yeah,
fantastic.
I love Texas Tech. Yeah, I do. I do.
And then you return back to Dallas again, the big summer skills camp, the Andre Emmett third annual summer skills camp, August 24th, in honor of Andre Emmett at the Oak Cliff YMCA, where there is a dream court dedicated to Andre Emmett. Courtesy of the Nancy Lieberman Foundation. If anybody else wanted to partner with the Oliver Family Charities, again, they just go to oliverfamilycharities.com, and anybody want to volunteer, the same thing, location?
Yeah. And hit contact, and I will get the message.
That is fantastic. Regina, thank you for joining us today, and we will be talking to you as we get closer to the 24th, and I'm going to be out there. I'm going to come by. You know that.
Of course. Absolutely. You will. Absolutely. Okay. I look forward to it. And thank you so much. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you.
And joining us now is Xavier Henderson of Four Oak Cliff, fouroakcliff.org. He is the chief of development. And let me tell you something. You guys are an award-winning nonprofit with a mission of developing community through education, social mobility, and social capital. And lo and behold, right around the corner, it's the 10th annual Back to School Festival. We got to talk about this festival, because it is a big thing. You got all kinds of activities going on and all kinds of people coming through. Hey, X, how you been?
Hey, I've been well, Chris. It's so great to hear from you and talk to you. Thank you again for having myself back on and to always give 40 Cliff a platform to share about our mission and work. I really appreciate you, CA, for real.
Oh, for, no worries at all, because, again, you guys are doing things and getting changes done. And I'm looking at some of the – let's talk about the festival first, the back-to-school festival, because in a way, that's how 40 Cliff all began. Let's tell everybody what's coming up on Saturday, August the 10th, between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m., and then we'll go through the history a little bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So everybody is invited. As you said, it'll be August 10th from 9 to 12 here at our 40 Cliff Community Campus. And our address is 907 East Ledbetter. And, you know, we're here right here in the heart of South Oak Cliff. And everybody, again, is invited for our 10th annual Back to School Festival. This is our staple event. Mm-hmm. We expect at least around 4,000 people. It's Woo! Always a great time. And we do our best to make sure that the students and families that are in attendance basically just celebrate the start of the school year. So that's really what we're anchoring the festival in. The theme this year is a family reunion theme. So mm-hmm. we just sent out a bunch of newsletters and we're asking folks to like send in pictures from like when they were going to school, their first day of school, family pictures and whatnot. We're going to do a big scrapbook. So you'll see some of my kid photos and stuff, but nonetheless, yeah, we're just trying to celebrate the core tenets of the festival, Chris. Again, it's a back to school festival. So of course you can expect backpacks with school supplies. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, we want to make sure parents get resources too. So we always have a college fair and a job fair that's on site where employers are coming out to share information and some are hiring on the spot too. So it's the college fair, the job fair. We also do a voter registration so you can get registered to vote. Mm-hmm. And of course, we give out school supplies with backpacks. And you know, it wouldn't be a celebration without some music. So of course, we'll have our DJ. We'll have some local high school bands performing. And then some local acts and artists that'll be on the microphone doing their music. So it's always a good time. And of course, you got to come out and eat too. We'll have some food that's free and available for all the guests as well.
I'm looking at some of the food. My mouth is watering as we speak. Mama's Boys Barbecue, Ruthie's Grilled Cheese. That's legendary. That food truck is absolutely amazing. We've actually had them on the show. They are absolutely amazing. And they're also a nonprofit. Williams Chicken, Hiawatha Williams Chicken is legendary. You can't have a festival without some Williams Chicken. And much, much more food. You mentioned the live music and entertainment. Job fair by Workforce Dallas. Workforce Dallas is another organization we've had on the station before because they're absolutely amazing. The college fair, the vendor booths, and for the kids, you got to have the bounce houses, the water slides, the face painting, and much, much more. Like you said, it is a true festival. That is amazing. And again, who would have thought 10 years ago this is where you would be, right?
Right. Yeah, it's been such an incredible journey. Like, I in some ways, just can't believe that we're here 10 years in on our 10th Back to School Festival. It just seems like yesterday when Taylor was in his classroom mm-hmm. teaching at Bushman Elementary. And, you know, he was calling friends and families and folks like myself saying, hey, I'm trying to do a back to school fair for my kids. And I'm trying to make sure that they have school supplies so they can learn, right? We don't want any barriers to students learning and student outcomes, right? And I know that, you know, Taylor's been, you know, that was his mission and his passion, right? And it's crazy now look back and say, man, what was, you know, originally for his, you know, students at Bushman that had blossomed into this huge community event that day has now turned into a 10-year event and really a movement for the people and by the people.
It really is. Would you say that the Back to School Festival, the very first one 10 years ago, started 40oakcliff.org? Did it start that or was 40oakcliff.org something that you and Taylor were thinking about before the festival itself?
You know, that's a good question, Chris. I think that in our heart of hearts, right, like growing up in the community, knowing the role that, you know, something like a 40 Cliff could play, I think spirit. I think all of this work that we're doing is divine. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that, you know, we set out to build what we've built today, right? But I do know that whether it was the experiences that we had growing up in the community, coupled with our experiences as adults, right? Like Taylor's a former teacher. I'm a former teacher too. Just being up and close and personal, seeing the experiences our students had here in this neighborhood. And they were the same things that we were experiencing and witnessed as children too. And, you know, there weren't changes, right? So I wouldn't say that, you know, starting out, you know, and being around Taylor and like hearing the vision, like I don't think we fully knew what was possible, but we knew that work needed to be done and there was a responsibility for folks that were from here to come back here, not run away from it, not to move away and say, oh, I'm not going back to the neighborhood. No, let's go back and not only like to improve it, but to also celebrate what and protect what made us who we are, right? Because mm-hmm. there's so many wonderful things and memories that we have of being, you know, children and young people here too, that we want to make sure future generations are also able to cherish and have as they grow up too. So I just know that we had that inner, like, you knew something needed to be done, but I don't think we could have foreseen what Fort Cliff has blossomed into today.
Absolutely amazing. And those 10 years, they just went by so fast. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I mean, it's like it's
rapid growth.
It's like, wait a minute, 10 years? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I can't believe all the time has flown. And again, all these different back to schools. And we're going to start with that. And then we'll get back into more of the FortOakCliff.org. But the back to school festival, they're, like you said, it's been 10 years worth. Was there one in particular? You can say it's the J. Cole stop by if you want, but is there any one in particular that just really stood out? And if you do tell the J. Cole story, it's a legendary story. You got to tell it. And then you might bring up another one that was also close to your heart.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've definitely got to tell the J. Cole story, especially given he's my favorite rapper. Like that.
No doubt.
Was certainly a special day. That was 2018. So that was the fourth back to school festival. And, you know, that was a pretty remarkable moment, Chris, as you can imagine, because we knew he was coming into town, right? His concert was the same day as the festival. And just a few weeks prior to that, that concert date, he had just come out with this song called Album of the Year. And on that song, he shouts out Oak Cliff, literally word for word, saying Oak Cliff in the song. So it just felt like, okay, all of the stars are aligned. And if we could just find a way to get his attention, and I wouldn't say like we were successful. We don't know if it was any tweet that he saw or anything like that, because, you know, folks were on the social media. Mm-hmm. Superintendent of DISD, Dr. Hinojosa, gave us a shout out. And the mayor at the time, Mike Rollins, gave mm-hmm. a shout out. Like everybody was like, hey, y'all, J. Cole, come to Oak Cliff. Like the students, everybody was trying to get him to come. But, you know, it was the day of it came. We had did the whole festival, right? So it was like basically the end of the day. So we were kind of wrapping up. It was, you know, of course, still a good crowd there. And, you know, we had one or two more groups on the stage. And we saw this black SUV into the parking lot at Glendale Park. And then we were like, oh, man. And then we look up and he's getting out the car and walking down the hill with Taylor. And it was just remarkable, Chris. He stayed around. He took a picture with every single person. Like he stayed at least an hour or two. And what was cool is he also brought a U-Haul full of school supplies as well. So, you know, J. Cole came, he showed up, showed some love, gave some supplies, and really, you know, let the community feel and experience him, which was really cool. You know, you expect a big celebrity like that to maybe come, say hi and leave real quick. But nah, he really was with the community that day.
That is fantastic. And that story never gets old. It never does. And I'm sure people come back to you all the time and say, remember when J. Cole came through?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah, that happens all the time. We have a photo here at the center, too, that just shows that moment. Like, yeah, that's a reoccurring story we always hear and talk about.
That is fantastic. Is there another back to school festival memory that you might want to share?
For sure. I think one that really comes to mind is last year's. You know, mm-hmm. last year in 2023 was our ninth festival, and it was the first time we located it here at our new campus.
Right.
And, you know, we usually have done it at Glendale Park, as I shared, but, you know, to move it here, of course, at the time, there was some work being done at the park, so we had to. But, you know, at first, you know, we were a little nervous because, you know, there's a lot of people. And even though we have a big campus, it's 10 acres. We were like, all right, is it going to be enough room? Will we have enough parking? And Chris, mm-hmm. I got to say, like, it was amazing. It was beautiful to see, like, our campus come to life in such a major way, where, you know, you have the backpacks being given out on the basketball court, and then you have basically the celebration and festival underneath the trees. And underneath our trees, it's cool, it's shaded, so you can be outside, and it's still in the morning, so it's not too hot during that 9 to 12. So we're in the shade, and it's like food trucks, people are going to different vendor booths, people are performing on stage, kids are dancing and getting bikes, and it was just beautiful. Like, it was like, man, this is what 9 years, 10 years into the work is supposed to eventually grow to, right? Like, you know that it's going to be well attended. You know people are going to have a fun, memorable, and safe time. So, I would say last year, being able to see it come to life here at our campus, I think that's the second one that definitely I would say comes to mind.
You know what? We got to talk about the backpacks again. And let me tell you why, in a different kind of way. Over the years, I have the question, how have the backpacks changed and what's going inside them?
Oh, yeah. That's a great
people
question.
People don't think about that.
Nah, they don't. Every year we've done something different with the backpack, so much so that, I could see a backpack and be like, oh, that's from the first. Oh, that's from the second.
Yeah.
We've certainly, for the most part, I think the supplies have been pretty constant, right? Like, we know kids like need spirals, need composition notebooks, pencils. And some years, we've done our best to try to like do like differentiated age groups where, you got the elementary backpacks, middle school and high school backpacks. But in terms of the design, it's always something we try to do. That's cool. I will say the last couple of years, because of, the changes in policy, we've had to do clear backpacks, which, to make sure kids could have a bag that could actually take in the school. But for the most part, it always has something about Oak Cliff on it, whether it's our logo or the zip codes of Oak Cliff. We've done that before. We always just try to make it a cool bag that kids and adults want to wear, because, the teachers are also at our school supply drive trying to get supplies for their classroom. So we try to make it something that people want to actually have on. And then, of course, we have partners, too. So the Mavericks is a huge partner. Shout out to the Dallas Mavs. Mm-hmm. They'll bring bags, and it has the cool Mav logo on it. And then, we had other partners, AT&T, and with their logo on it. And this year, I don't know if I've shared, but we're partnering with our hometown hero, Clayton Kershaw, in the Kershaw Challenge.
I was about to go into that. Please do the Kershaw Challenge, because I know that's a part of the festival this year. What is all of that? And Clayton Kershaw, for those who don't know, he's about to go into the Hall of Fame when he ever retires. He is a legendary pitcher for the Dodgers, and he grew up right here in Dallas, Fort Worth, aka Highland Park, and he's always been giving back.
Absolutely. So if you haven't noticed, like, across the city, for anybody listening, I would highly encourage you to just check out what the Kershaw Challenge is doing throughout communities, not just ours. They are really trying to support communities, not just in baseball, but just in general, and specifically with Fort Oak Cliff. We've been thankful to partner with them over the last few years on our Back to School Festival. They have been the title sponsor that we've worked with to bring this festival to life. And we can't express any more gratitude for how thankful we are for them. In addition to that, they helped us. So I've told you a little bit about the campus. Like, when we got our campus, we already had a playground on it, Chris. But when we talked to some of the younger kids, like, there wasn't a lot for the little smallest of kids to do on the playground. Like, some of it was too big for them. So, the Kershaw Challenge helped us build another like playground set, right? So now there's an outdoor classroom, and there's some things that the smaller kids can do, right? The youngest learners can do. So, they're an incredible partner. They've been doing work across the city, and I'm just so thankful for them and their partnership. So, yeah, they're going to be on the backpacks this year as well. So you'll be able to see our co-branded backpacks. But yeah, we love Clayton, his family, the challenge, everybody on the team, the board. It's a really great entity that's trying to support groups here in Dallas.
That is so fantastic. And I'm glad we brought up Clayton Kershaw, because here's what's so wild. A lot of people may not realize this. Everybody know the Rangers won the World Series last year, and everybody know that the baseball All-Star Game, shout out, that's right. Rangers hosted the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which featured the Swingman Classic, Ken Griffey Jr.'s HBCU Classic. But a lot of people may not remember this, but during the pandemic, at Globe Life Field, Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers won the World Series. People forget that, but the very first World Series that was won in Arlington happened with the Dodgers. You want to hear another side little story on that?
For sure. You always have the best stories.
You know, the CA story is confidential. Check this out. Clayton's teammate was the guy named Corey Seager, who was the MVP of the World Series for the Dodgers. Mm. And when the Rangers, when he became a free agent the next year, the Rangers said, come over here, let me show you something. That's your locker when you won the World Series. It's all set with your Rangers gear. And that was the deal closer. I mean, it was one of the deal closers, but isn't that ironic? One of the best players in baseball who wears the Texas Rangers, he was Clayton Kershaw's teammate, was the MVP of the World Series that the Dodgers won.
Wow.
In Arlington. And you know who one of the owners of the Dodgers was back then?
Now, who was that?
A guy named Magic Johnson.
Oh, wow. Of course.
You know, Magic got his fingerprints on everything.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Well, Xavier, I got to take you back to the backpacks because I got an idea. It might be in the bag already. I don't know. But you guys were always ahead of the curve by letting people know that there are spots in Dallas and in major cities all over the country, but in particular Dallas and Fort Worth, that don't have Wi-Fi availability for kids. So I was thinking, you know, the way kids nowadays are like tech support. You know, they know everything. They can do a lot of things for their grandparents and their big mom and them.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like a hotspot or even tablets or anything in the backpacks, or are those something that may be coming down the road?
That's a great question, and it is a need. I will say in the past, we have given out technology, whether it be—
I remember.
Yeah, you know, hotspots, whether it be, you know, thumb drives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've given out tech throughout the year.
And y'all got a tech lab too, right?
Yep, we do. We have so when you come into the Fort Cliff campus, and it's a big one, but you go downstairs and you might not know it's back there, but on our back hallway, we have two classrooms. One is a dance room, and right next to it is we call it a multimedia lab. So we have gaming computers.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Oculus in there. We also have some Dells that were donated by AT&T, a part of their Connected Learning Lab donation. So we have a bunch of tech that we want to make accessible to community members. And so if you don't have internet at home, or if you don't have a computer to either, you know, apply for a job on or do some homework on, or shoot, just check your Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Like whatever it might be, you know, you can use our devices. And again, those gaming computers, you know, we've got video games on them. The kids, that's one of the most popular rooms here. In fact, last night I was in there for a class that we do here called, it's a DJ class. So, you know, kids are being led by a good friend of mine. He is a really good DJ named Ill Tommy. And the kids are learning how to become DJs, Chris. And they'll be actually spinning at the festival like they spin last year. In fact, that was really one of the coolest parts last year. The kids were on stage DJing the festival. And now one of the kids is actually being contracted. Like somebody hired one of the kids for one of their events. So like they're learning a trade, they're being able to, you know, engage with music in a tangible way. Cause you know, kids love music, and you know, they're able to then also help us with our events too. So yeah, that tech lab, there's a lot that goes down in there, a lot that takes place here at the campus.
And like I said, on the backpack end of it, if there's a potential partner or sponsor that's listening right now, that might be something for a backpack for next year or future years, especially again, it may not be a hotspot. It might even be a tablet, because I kid you not, nowadays, the kids in schools, they're more on tablets than they are writing things, as opposed to, you know, the notebooks and the book binders and things like that. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Chris. Like, for one, we do still need sponsors to finish the event and to make sure that it's a worthwhile event for community members. So certainly reach out to us. It's all on our website. If you go to forocliff.org, hit Back to School Festival, there's a tab at the top. You'll see like all the information, not only to sign up and come to volunteer, but also for sponsors, because that's still a need. And what you were saying about the tablet, Chris, that's actually what somebody did last year. They did like a raffle where they put a tablet in a backpack, or they put the winning ticket in a backpack. And if you got it, you know, you won a tablet. So, you know, we can get creative with the way those things are given out too. So, yeah, would love more sponsors for sure.
I love all the different programs you have at Fort Oak Cliff, including the swim and sports camps, the etiquette classes, the after-school programs, STEM, culinary, tutoring, the health and wellness, the financial literacy, the adult learning, which brings me back to something I thought you guys were just really, really exceptional with, and it was from the beginning. I think you call it dual gen, Tell everybody about the Dual Gen program that you guys have been doing.
I would love to. So, you know, the Dual Gen concept is a concept that we decided to adopt for the basically the families that we serve.
Yep.
If you look up dual generation, if you just put it in your Google, you'll see that it's basically a concept where you're not just like educating one generation, you're basically educating both. So mm-hmm. for us, what that looks like is both the kid, the children in a family, and their caregiver slash parent. So we take a dual gen approach to making sure that, you know, our programs reach the entire family to basically improve family outcomes. This is a concept. In fact, if anybody, especially, I know there are folks that are in education research. Like if you go to the Aspen Institute, they have a lot of resources about dual gen, and you'll start to notice a pattern of different organizations, not only here in Dallas, but across the country, that are trying to use that as an approach to learning. So, you know, for us, given the work that we do, we didn't think we could really change, a child's trajectory without also supporting their parents, right? Like we can give them, you know, I'm a former teacher. I can give my kid, mm-hmm. my students, the best quality lesson, and I can have the curriculum that is most culturally relevant, really gets to what they want and need. But if I'm not supporting their parents at home too, it's only so much that I can do, right? If they're going home and still don't have a meal, right? Or if they're mm-hmm. still going home and to whatever environment where it's not conducive to their growth. So, you know, for us, that's the way we want to also support the schools in our neighborhood, support the families in our neighborhood, just thinking about how do we be a resource for the parent, the whole family, because we don't want anybody to be left behind. So that dual gen concept is just a way to think about providing, you know, programs and resources for the entire family.
And speaking of the entire family, I got to throw in this part, too, because every time you guys come up with things or I find out newer things that you've been doing for years, I'm blown away. Let's mm-hmm. talk about the Lena Start with the kids ages 0 to 3. You're talking about babies and helping them speak. Tell me about this. I'm blown away by this. Lena.
Yeah, not Lena. We actually just had a Lena graduation this past
look
Monday. Yeah, it's one of those programs that I would say is one of the core programs to what we're trying to do in the early childhood space. You know, we're still building out what everything under that umbrella will look like, but mm-hmm. I know for certain Lena Start will be something that we continue to do. But it's basically a program that it brings together the parent and the kid. Or the baby, it's really a toddler at that point.
Yeah, toddlers.
Yeah, the toddlers are basically the age is 0 to 3. Mm-hmm. And it's a 10-week program where they come in for weekly sessions and they're basically guided on how to basically be your child's first teacher. So, you know, the parent slash caregiver is given a litany of lessons about things you can do, word like exchanges and interactive talk that's really, you know, beneficial to your child. So that way they're, you know, on a better path to learn how to read, to be ready for kindergarten. In essence, like it's a word acquisition program and a mm-hmm. brain development program. Mm-hmm. So the kids go home with this pedometer and it's not a recorder. We try to let families know, like it's not recording the conversation. It's just counting the amount of words that they hear from you and the sounds that they make. Because, you know, when babies are talking, whether they're babbling or making coos, whatever it might be, that's mm-hmm. still them trying to talk to you. So it's counting that. And what that does is it basically generates this report that we're able to show to parents like, all right, this is how much you talk to your baby. This is what the research says. Like you are either short or you're ahead of the goal. Right. So we just try to encourage them to speak more to them, read more to them. They always get a free book or books from us to start their library if they don't have one for their kid. Right. So we just want to make sure that, you know, we're supporting the families to, of course, help their babies to learn to read and be ready for kindergarten. But ultimately, you know, if you get the early childhood right in a child's life, they're much more likely to be successful throughout the rest of their education pathway, right? From cradle to career, right? So mm-hmm. we're just trying to make sure families start off on a really strong footing. And Lena is one of those programs that is a vehicle for that.
You have so many things going on, and I'm always blown away by it because, again, it's like, you guys are in just great shape because you and Taylor are educators first, and that's where it kind of starts. Can you talk about the four pillars once again to remind everybody what 4oakcliff.org is all about with the four pillars and how that impacts and influences all the different things that you're doing? I mean, you're so diverse.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. So our four pillars are education, advocacy, community building, and art. And that's how I would say like all of our programs are guided. I would say they're informed by the four pillars. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try to think about things that we're doing that are along education, advocacy, community building, and art. And that's again, that's just how we categorize and think about what's coming next, you know, and everything that we do fits in some way in one of those, whether it be the programs we do or the partners that we try to recruit. It's like, all right, we're looking a little lean in one of these pillars. Who's a partner that can help us, right? So I would say it's just a matter of like helping us stay grounded and not, you know, spreading ourselves too thin, but also giving us a narrow, focused path. We have an incredible team that I am so grateful to work alongside. Shout out to the entire Four Cliffs staff, not only just my brother Taylor and our incredible team of Sydney, of Amber, Juliana, Unisha, Courtney, Destiny, Miss Joyner, Jaden, the other Taylor Wortham. We call her Big Taylor. all the interns. There's a bunch of interns, and I just want to shout out our board too, right? Like we have an incredible board of individuals that are always like singing our praises and always connecting us and introducing us to folks. So definitely shout out to the entire staff that we can't do this work alone. And it's been, I would say the reason for Oak Cliff is continuing to grow and continuing to serve in the way that we're able to is because, you know, we have a team of committed servant leaders, Chris, that are really, you know, that have real strong intrinsic motivation, that are really committed to the neighborhood, committed to people and the mission.
And we are also thankful for you and Taylor and for Oak Cliff. Thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.